One of the great miracles of the Christmas story is the knowledge that God is with us. Not only that He came to be with us, but He wanted to be with us. God with us. Somehow, the God of the universe wanted to be close to you and to me. Somehow, an amazing creative power, infinite and awesome and majestic and so far above and beyond what we can possibly put into words and terms. Somehow this great Creator God wants to be with us. And the Christmas story of all the miracles is the reminder that there's a God in heaven that wants to be very near to every one of us. Christmas time we come and we celebrate in so many different ways and have our traditions and have our ways that we remember and think about the meaning of Christmas, but one of the most important to me is the reminder that God wants to be with me. God cares deeply about me and God cares deeply about you. I want us to focus this morning for a few minutes on the knowledge that God wants to be with us, being together. Somehow God wants us to be a part of His family. God wants us to belong to Him. He wants us to understand that we are His heavenly or His children here on earth, a heavenly Father. There is a great miracle of being with us. Some people call it the miracle of the Incarnation. How could this awesome, infinite, eternal, majestic, powerful God, how can this being that has existed since the beginning, how could He possibly come and exist with us? Our bodies, our frailties, our emotions, our life that is limited. How can an infinite God come and be with us? Why would He want to, and how would He do that? How would He do that? God came to be with us. It is a great miracle. It is the miracle of the Incarnation, the miracle of God with us. In the Old Testament, it was read a few minutes ago from the prophet how God would want to come. Isaiah prophesied about how God was pointing toward that day when He was going to come in a unique way, in a special way, and be with us in a way that He had never been before. Somehow in the Christmas story, as God brings together all of human history and brings it in a progression, God is coming to the place where He pours out Himself completely to be with us. I want you to know today that God wants to be with you. Not just in this great story, in what it says in John chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2, but that God wants to be with you today, just as He was when He came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. I want to read from John chapter 1, a familiar passage about God being with us. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, John chapter 1. John describes what it means that God wanted to be with us and how He did that. How could this eternal, infinite God come and be with me? How is it that God did that? John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then verses beginning at verse 12. Listen to how God wanted to be with us, and He came to be with us. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And you look down at verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling place among us. We have all seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me.' From the fulfillment of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known." This story today from the hand of John, we've been reading a lot about John in our church in the last year with our study in the book of Revelation and more recently on Sunday nights, our study in the book of 1 John. John was an interesting person. There are a number of Johns that are in the New Testament, and the John that wrote the Gospel of John gives us a real picture of the heart of God going back all the way into eternity. John describes it as the Word becoming flesh. Somehow, God coming to us, God coming to you, God coming to me in our own flesh. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning is the truth of God. Somehow, some miracle beyond what we can understand, truth existed. God existed. The Trinity existed. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, somehow in the beginning. I can't understand that because I'm a finite person. I know that I will live so many days or so many years and then I will die. It's impossible for humanity to understand eternity past. We can do a little bit better with eternity future, but eternity past is impossible for me to understand what it is. But the Bible tells us that this amazing, creative, infinite God was always from the beginning. If you have a way to understand that, explain that to me. That is so hard for me to understand and to understand what it means that God always was. But the Bible says that He always was. And truth always was. The Word always was. There was a fullness of the Word from the beginning. Another word that we might use is there was a completeness, a wholeness of God from the beginning. There was a perfection of God. And again, all those words describe something we try to use in the human language, but there was a completeness about God from the beginning. It isn't that God developed, or God was one thing then, and then He became a little better, a little stronger, a little something of anything. He always was. There was a completeness and a wholeness of God from the beginning. And somehow, out of that, He spoke into existence our world. Out of His wholeness, out of His completeness, God chose and spoke into existence all of the creation. Ex nihilo, out of nothingness, God created. Out of nothingness, out of the creativity of God, He somehow spoke into being the solar system and the Milky Way and the universe and the worlds that are out there on this scale that's so beyond what we can imagine. When we hear there's 7 sextillion tuplet stars, whatever that number is now, 21 zeros on it out there, how many stars there are, you know, this complete whole God somehow spoke all that into existence suddenly. I mean, I don't know why He just was prompted to do that, but He did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somehow this infinite, mighty, amazing God that I can't get my hands around was from the beginning, and He chose to create the world. He created everything out of nothing to everything. I mean, God went from nothing, ex nihilo, this Hebrew idea of nothingness, darkness, emptiness. I don't understand. I read in astronomy and I read descriptions of things that are beyond my physics mind anyway, but I know some people try to get a handle of nothingness and what that means. Somehow out of nothingness, this creative power spoke the world into existence. And that same God is a God who wants to be with us. That same God who spoke the world and created life. John tries to explain that in John's Gospel. John tries to tell us how it is that this great Creator God can yet care about you and I. He created life. Verse 4 says, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. Not only did He speak into existence, but God is the giver of life. He's the amazing giver of life. There's no other being. There's no other forces outside of what God has created that can create life. However He did it. However you can explain it through medicine, through chemistry, through all the sciences on earth. However you try to explain it or understand it, it was the Creator who gives life. It's the Creator that created us in His own image. It's a Creator that had purpose and design, and He made us for a reason, and we don't always understand what that is, but in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Somehow in the amazing, wonderful, marvelous Creator is this unbelievable plan of purpose Your life has purpose to God. You have identity to God. This massive, or massive, not the right word, this great creator. You're important to Him. This God that was from the beginning, and trying to understand what that means way back further and further and further. God had you in mind somehow, and He created you with purpose and meaning. That's pretty amazing to me. That's just amazing of the reality of a creator God. And then also it's amazing to me how God began to reveal Himself through what we call time, way back there. In the beginning, He began to reveal Himself in His creation on the first day and the second day and the third day, and through those times that He created things and allowed things to develop in the world that He made. It's just unbelievable how God is revealing His creativity and His purpose and what we call life. Is an amazing creative God. He began to reveal Himself long before human history and before time began. God was revealing Himself, expressing Himself, helping us to see what kind of God He is, what kind of creator He is. When we look at the creation, we learn about the creator. We understand more about who He is, even though if it's only just a little bit of knowledge, just a tiny bit of knowledge. When we study the creation, we see the wonder of a creator. We see the wonder of a designer. We see the wonder of some kind of a being that could be so creative and so amazing. It's hard for me to understand how people can look at the complexities of life and not believe in a designer. That just argument has never made sense to me. You just look at the intricacies of chemistry, or to me, astronomy, and what's out there. How can you believe that it just came about? I don't understand that. It takes far more of a leap of something to choose to believe that that randomly happened than to believe that there's a designer out there. I mean, what in life do we ever know that hasn't been designed? God's laws have designed everything. In history, God has been working. God has been revealing Himself. God began to reveal Himself. He began with the intricacies of creation, diverse and glorious. There's so many words that we can use that come to mind when I think of John chapter 1. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Nothing has been made that God hasn't known about, that God hasn't put into motion. Some of it He's spoken to exist it, and somehow He's allowed processes to bring about things. And I don't always know which was what. We have an outline in the scripture of those things. But everything that is here, God made. He made it with identity. He made us with identity. He made us with purpose. And those two things, identity and purpose, tells me that He made us for relationship. He made us for relationship. Why would He make us different? Why would He give us identity if we're not for relationship? God cares deeply. And it's not just that He created us with individuality and identity and purpose. It tells me that He wants a relationship with us. But it's everything else that He reveals throughout time. He placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It says in the very first couple chapters of the Bible that He walked with him in the cool of the day. The very opening chapters of the creation story remind us of relationship. God wants relationship with us. Again, there's relationship. And then there was the temptation. There was the deceiver, the liar. There was the fall in the Garden of Eden. That's question number two that I really can't wrap around. Number one is the beginning of in the beginning. And number two is, why did God allow that in the garden? We try to understand that. We know that He created us in His own image, and there's something about that that gives us a will and a choice. And I'm not sure how to process that, but we do know that God gives us choices. We're free will people. Theology, they call it free will agents. Meaning we can choose whether or not to accept or reject the revelation of God. But in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve chose to sin. And the Garden of Eden became shattered. The relationship was broken. This amazing, creative, infinite God somehow, He chose not to force man, Adam and Eve, to serve Him and love Him, but He allowed them to choose. And at the same time, this creature, Lucifer, and whatever happened back there with the fallen angels, God allowed that to continue, and He allowed Adam and Eve to make a choice. I don't understand that, but it has to do with relationship. It has to do with God wanting to have relationship. But even after that happened, after the Garden of Eden, we know that God continued to reach out to us. God did not say, okay, I'm finished and I'm done and it's over and the human race is done. He could have wiped them out even more quickly than he created the world. He could have wiped out the world. But God chose not to. Why not? God continued to reach out and reach down. He would begin to send His Spirit to the earth to speak to men. His Spirit would come down for a while and talk to certain people and give certain messages. That part of the Old Testament is kind of, I think of it as a period of God's presence coming and going where God chooses and God's will is. Somehow God's great nature of both love and justice would not allow Him to draw back from man forever. Somehow an infinite God that's described as love and as just could not draw back. I mean, lesser gods probably just would have wiped man out right there. Adam and Eve, you're done. I'm done with the experiment. I'm done with the human race. But somehow the attributes of the nature of God allowed Him to say, no, I don't want to give up. I want to keep trying. I want to keep reaching out and reaching down. Lesser gods would probably react with vengeance. But not the Creator, not an awesome God. No, that's a God who says, I want to be with you. He wanted to overcome. He wanted to restore. He wanted to redeem. And so He continued to speak to man. And so He sent His Spirit. He sent His Spirit to Abel and accepted his sacrifice. And later on in those early chapters in the book of Genesis, there was a man named Enoch who walked with God. And then there was a man, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Spirit came and spoke to him and gave him an important job and many others. And while the brokenness continued and the sin contaminated and destroyed and was magnified, God didn't give up then. He soon made a covenant with a man named Abraham. And he said, through you I will bless all people around the earth. Through you I will work through to establish a relationship again. See, all the way God is wanting to reestablish the link, the connection, the closeness, the fatherhood of God, that sense that we belong together. And then there was Moses that came and the law and the prophets, and God gave us His heart and His commandments to help us to understand righteousness and man that had gone amok with sin, that we could understand the holiness of God and what God wanted in a covenant relationship, and the law and the prophets and Moses. It just seemed to highlight, or it just seemed to make very more evident how far man has fallen short of trying to do what he can to establish that relationship again with God. John chapter 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses. John says that for a reason. That was part of the revelation of God. Wasn't the completeness at that point, but a part of it. The law was established. The law was given through Moses. God was working His way back in time and human history. We don't always know why God, why did He take so long? Why didn't He do it earlier? Why didn't He do it different? I don't know. But that's the plan, and that's what God has done, and He's worked through the Old Testament and through, like I said, through Enoch and through Abraham and through Moses and through the law and through the kings and through the prophets. And you got all this story that doesn't always make sense to us. Why? And why doesn't God do it different? Why doesn't God do it faster? I don't know all that, but I know that He's working through time. And He knows exactly what He's doing. So He continues to reach out with His love and His care for people. God was working His way back to us somehow. That infinite, awesome God was working His way back to you and to me, back to the human heart, back to the place where we could accept Him and know Him and be restored and be redeemed and be reclaimed. Somehow the human race that had run so far away from God, God was working through every stage and every century and every chapter of the human race in order to bring us to the place where we were ready to receive Him again and His presence and His Word. The law showed us how broken we were, how unfixable we are. From a distance, God spoke to man, but then one day He came very near. The Christmas story reminds us that there about 2,000 years ago or so, God decided it was time once again to come very close again to us and to reveal Himself and His heart and His purpose and the reason why He made us. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John captures this wonder of a God who's so infinite and so eternal and so amazing and so powerful that He does everything that He can, and then He comes to that place in the Christmas story where God says, it's now time. I'm going to come myself. I have sent the messengers. I have tried to help you to know who I am, but now I'm coming myself, and I'm coming to be with you. So Matthew chapter 2 reminds us, the message from Isaiah says, that He will come to be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. I want you to remember today and remember this Christmas season the importance of this verse in Isaiah. God is with us. He wants to be with you. You don't have to live wondering, does God care about me? Does God know about my end? I mean, here I am in the middle of Pennsylvania and there's 11 other million people in the state and around the country and around the world. Does God know me? The truth is, God knows you individually. He loves you so much. He came to be with you. He came to be with you and He came to be with me. And so from a distance, God spoke to man and then He came very near. He came so that we could see Him. He came in the form of flesh. He came in the form of a beautiful baby. That's another amazing miracle. What an idea. What a story. What a beautiful picture of a humbled God. He didn't come riding on a horse into Jerusalem with a spear in His hand. He didn't come as a great ruler over the dynasties of Israel, but He came as a baby. Came as a baby, lowly, the Bible says He came. This infinite, how else could an infinite God come? I don't know. It would almost seem condescending for Him to come like a mighty warrior, you know, when He comes to show us that He's with us. I don't know about that, but He came as a baby. He came so we could see Him. He came so that we could hear Him. He came that we could understand Him. He came so that we would know that He wanted a relationship with us. He came so that we could be connected to Him again. That to me is the miracle. That is the miracle of the Christmas story. The wonder that God came of His love and of His Spirit. And His great desire to be connected to you and I. God showed us when Jesus came the fullness of His amazing glory. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His own dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. I love that part of verse, the glory of the one and only. I mean, that's one you gotta kinda really, to me, you gotta work on that. What do you mean the glory of the one and only? Somehow the fullness of God was shown when Jesus came. The very fullness, the wholeness, the completeness, the perfection of God is given when Jesus came to the world. He came to be near us, to be with. Probably heard that expression, to be with, you know. God wants to be with. That's an expression maybe your generation uses, maybe, to be with. That's how God feels about you. He wants to be with you in His birth, in His life, in His teaching, in the cross, dying for our sins. This morning the focus is on the coming, the beginning. But all throughout His life, when you think of the birth of Jesus and the cross and then the resurrection, the power of a God who wants to be with us, the power of His resurrection. God is with us. I'm so grateful today. I'm so thankful today that God is with us. We celebrate that. He came all the way down from His glory to be with you and to be with me. Last picture I have up here this morning is a picture I love. It's a picture of a God, at least it means to me, it just kind of, when I saw that, I really liked it. Just God comes right out of the Scriptures, comes right out of the Word, comes right out of what we call the Bible, and comes right out of history, comes right out of everything we've heard about God. He just comes out with His arms to put around you and me. That's the kind of God that He is. God with us. He loves you. He's reaching out to you and to me. That's an amazing God. That's an amazing part of the Christmas story. That He would reach out so much to you and I. I'm thankful for that today. I'd like for us to close our service this morning kind of like we opened our service with a chorus, a very simple chorus. Chorus that I've chosen, you may know, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. I'd like for us to sing that in worship this morning, but I also see that we have something really great to celebrate today. I think we do anyway. I believe I saw Lynn Sholley come in a few minutes ago. Lynn, is your family back there? Do you have a baby back there? Would you want to bring your baby up here? Don't get close to me because I got a sore throat, but bring Ezekiel up here, would you? Or Ezekiel Lee, if you don't mind, Lauren, and you want to do... Oh, Lynn's going to bring him up. Okay. I can't tell who's back there, but I could see Lynn. Hey, that's great. Guys, we have a new baby. Lauren White had a baby. Now it's been, 5 weeks? And I'd come down there, but you don't want me close to that baby right now. And so I'll stay up here, let Lynn do all the holding and stuff. Oh, yeah, sure. Boy, isn't this something to celebrate today? Ezekiel Lee White, born 5 weeks ago. And he's growing, I understand, and doing well. And Lauren, how about you? How are you doing? Doing great. These days have challenges, don't they? And we're glad to hear and see how God has just blessed your family. Would you give a hand to this family today? If you'll stay up here, would you stand? Let's sing this chorus, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. I want us to sing it in worship, in thanks of an amazing God. And then I want to pray and just give thanks for the baby Jesus, that he's with us, and this precious baby this morning. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you're with us, that you plan to be with us, that you want to be with us, that you did all that you could and you revealed yourself and gave of yourself and gave your only Son to come and to die for our sins. We're thankful, God, that everything that you do spells the truth, that you want a relationship with us. God, help us to know that. Help us, Lord, as we think of 1 John chapter 3, behold the love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Help us to celebrate that, to remember that, to give thanks for that, and to live as your children with our eyes on the Father. Thank you for all that you've done today. Thank you for the wonder of Christmas. And we thank you, God, for this beautiful baby. Thank you for Ezekiel Lee and for the joy that he's brought to Lauren and her family. God, we thank you for the wonder and the joy of life. What a special time of the year to celebrate and to remember, and pray for your blessings to be on this home. And Lord, may each one of us sense your spirit and your blessings during this season and all that we do, God. We give you the praise. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless. And congratulations, Lynn.